Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, that podcast focused on a zero emission future that we all hope for. Every week we get wonderful guests and have a good old chat. And of course, you know who the wonderful guest this week is. It's Dan McLean from BP Pulse.
Or even Dan McLaren.
McLaren, even, indeed.
Either or's fine.
We'll just call him what we like. We'll just call him what we jolly well please. It's Fred Flintstone from BP Pulse.
Naughty. Naughty. That's your first strike. Yellow
first
card.
Strike. Indeed. Indeed. Well, listen, that's as mean as we're going to get today. Just because Dan works for BP, we are not here to beat him up and sort of go rah, rah, rah about BP. We're interested in the person and why. Dan, welcome to the show.
No, thank you. This is a nice little surprise in the inbox to be invited. So, no, thank you.
Well, we were running low on who to go out to.
Not what we actually said was we really need to pep this up a bit and we need to get somebody who's put themselves out there a bit and taken a good beating and find out about the story of how you have kept going all those years. So stop your nonsense, Mr. Kirby.
Indeed. And as everyone out there can now tell, I'm joined by the lovely JC today. JC, I'm actually really looking forward to this. Are you?
Yeah, I've known Dan for a few years now, and I watch his stuff on TikTok, and I just think he's a very brave human being to go out in amongst those the non-believers in the world and just try and deal with the myths and the rubbish that there is out there in the industry. And he's put himself out there, and you kind of forget that Dan is part of the sort of the transport infrastructure that's been there for over 100 years, you know, the old fossil fuel stuff. And he's just there talking common sense to people who probably don't want to hear common sense. And he keeps doing it. And I just love his work. So it was a gas, if you'll pardon the expression, to get him on.
Well, listen, we're going to unpack all of this from TikTok to golf courses to maybe even a little bit of Hogwarts. Who knows? But we're gonna navigate Dan's journey. Dan, listen, give us a little bit of insight for those people that live under a rock or are not on TikTok like me. What do you do? Where are you from? How did you get there? A little bit.
Oh God. So let's start forward and then work back. So. Now, I think my title officially is Network Optimization Lead. To other people in industry, Commercial Manager would be a similar term. So basically, I look after half of the BP Pulse network. So we split the network down the middle. There's myself and my far better colleague, Catherine, who looks after the other half of the network. And it's my job to try and drive as many people to our chargers as physically possible. And then the magical, wonderful people in the background sort of do all the really cool stuff. A lot of the marketeers and all of that, a lot of them make it work. So that's where sort of I am now. I've been doing that for about a year or so now, but I've been at Pulse for, I think it's 6 years. Someone said to me the other day, it's coming up to 5 years. We always have a joke in Pulse. It's like dog years. Just because of the way the industry changes so much. Every year is like 7 years. So I feel like I'm like a 30-year veteran.
How long have you been doing it, mate?
So I've only been in EV since I've been with Pulse. I did a little bit of EV stuff. So previously I was with Volkswagen Group as a product trainer. But that was anything, right? Anything from a car salesman to a technician to a sales manager, being a trainer and product lead for them. But EV was just starting to come into it. The Volkswagen ID.3 was, funny enough, the last product launch I did before I come into this. Actually, I'm not going to lie, my first day at Pulse, I turned up, didn't have a clue about EV charging, really what it was, apart from what the guys at Volkswagen told me. Like, you know, and it was, you know, this car charges in 20 minutes. And it's like, right. And then it's just been one hell of a rapid rise to where we are now, to be fair.
Ultra rapid.
Why not? Let's go with that.
Ching. You can do this all day, you know.
Yeah.
So, and before that, so VW before that, so you're in the automotive industry. What else have you done?
I mean, when I left school, nothing for a while. I tried to become a golfer, and that didn't work very well. And then, to be honest with you, I floated around. So where, to give you a bit of a backstory, so when I was really young, my parents didn't want me just roaming the streets in summer holidays. So they just threw me into a golf club. And I grew up in a very nice private members golf club, but it was wicked, right? Really privileged situation. And they sort of, I know when I got to, what would I have been, 18, 19, I think at the end of it, that the golf club sort of, well, he's not really doing anything, so let's give him an apprenticeship. So they gave me an apprenticeship as a greenkeeper. What is the most amazing job in the summer, it's an awful job in the winter. And I just sort of did that. And there's nothing wrong with like greenkeeping. Look, people make a really good living from it, but it was sort of very much dead man's shoes. You know, you're waiting for the guy at the top to leave to potentially get a chance. Unless I was going to go work at an unbelievable course in the future, there was no real future in it. And I got really lucky where I met my now wife. And although she's amazing, it was actually her dad that sculpts things. So her dad was a literally rags to riches guy who used to, well, he started off literally grabbing film from a photographer and running it to the newspapers and selling it. And he built his career in the press. And when I met my wife, he just retired at like 52 and he was bored. And I become his project. And it was like, right, well, if you're going to marry my daughter, we're going to get you this.
Need to polish you up.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. And it was an unbelievable journey. And God rest his soul, he passed away about 6-7 years ago now. But it was basically like, he was like, we need to get your proper career. We need to get you in the corporate world. And, you know, it was very much early on. You do know, I left school with nothing. I'm dyslexic. And you now want me to go work in this big, wide corporate world. How is this going to work? But we have. And we sort of navigated it. And I've been so lucky. So many sliding door moments, like unbelievable moments of just like getting lucky at the right time.
But so let's just dip into this a little bit, because I too left school with nothing and had, as you term it, sliding door moments throughout my career, and I love this. But I'd really like to focus in on the importance of a male role model coming alongside a young man that had the potential to be a right little toe rag, probably, because you've got very little. Well, you've got very little coming from school. Perhaps you've got some self-belief issues. You've probably got, you know, a sort of a real kind of meh. You could have been, if not a little toe rag, but not really there to offer much of life. Talk to us about that relationship and that mentoring and the value of it and the importance of it.
Yeah. I mean, just before on that, like, so I was quite lucky in is I grew up in a household where I actually questioned my mum and dad, why are you still together? Because no one else in my class, their parents don't live together anymore. But I had a dad who, he worked for the same company from 16 to 66, I think he retired at. Just in the building game, stayed there. My dad was a very traditionalist of, you just go to work, you earn your money, you pay the bills, you look after your family. And the one thing I said from him was, he goes, you don't have a day off. You never call in sick, you go. So I'd say I had good fundamentals, but my dad would admit himself, like, there was not, my dad was never going to go and, you know, jump around and, you know, grow a career. He wanted to just provide for his family and come home at the end of the day. So I sort of had the foundation. And then when I met my wife, but then I sort of, because I've grown up in a house where it was, you know, that's okay to be like that. And I met someone who was like, well, I had nothing, can I build myself up? So why can't you? And it was then just go learning those little lessons along the way of, you know, there's going to be something about you. So I'm dyslexic, right? So I, you know, put a load of text in front of me. Honestly, I've got the attention span of a gnat. I would literally go, no, okay. But you put me in a room with a whiteboard and say, Dan, we need to find a way to drive more sessions at this site. I come up with 1,000 ideas. Now, 990 of them will be terrible. But there'd be a couple of nuggets. And actually, it was more around that, him just getting me to think that, you know, And actually, I was probably growing up at the right time in a world where things were far more acceptable. You know, people were far more dyslexic at school would just put you in a class with less people. Get on with it. The world now is a little bit more encompassing. Actually, there's different avenues to go down. So yeah, no, he was unbelievable. Like every day, every day at 5 o'clock when I'd leave the office wherever I was working, he'd call me and we'd talk about the day. Right, what's happened? You know, how's the day gone on? You know, what mistakes have you made? All of this sort of thing. And we'd do that sort of every day for 2-3 years until he passed. What was amazing, right? Because it held me to account. I knew it was coming every day because, like I said, my attention span is poor. So I was actually like, well, and the problem is at the time I was working for his son, so I sort of couldn't get away with lying. And we just sort of navigated it, and he would never stop me doing anything, but it was always very much a case of, you know, what are consequences of your actions? Because at the time I did sort of jump around a little bit. I was trying to find, to be a bit corny, trying to find my why. What did I love doing? And I sort of bounced around the motor trade to different dealerships and all of that sort of thing. And then I found my why in training, because who would have thought it? This guy who can pass a GCSE ends up delivering training to people, what is the most bizarre thing in the world. But don't mind standing up in a room in front of people and talking. So that was sort of where that come from. And again, it just followed me. He was the most amazing man I've ever met in my life, and did things for me like, you know, when I left greenkeeping, he said, we need to make the big jump. And although I wasn't earning massive amounts of money in greenkeeping, I was starting again, right? I was literally going into a call center with a car dealership, learn the trade. And it was miles away. And he subsidized me £600 a month for 6 months so I could go and do it. So he went, look, we'll give you the leg up. You go do it. I understand you're starting again. Go and do it. And 6 months later, I got myself in position. I'm back square and off I go again. That's what I'm saying. Like, very lucky, right? I mean, there's a lot of people who wouldn't get that opportunity. They'd have to go, well, I have to stay where I am because I can't afford to do it. But yeah, he was unbelievable.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europcar, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europcar's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europe Karma. Search Europe Car Business.
That is a thing of beauty. And I think one of the things I got to speak to a bunch of young people, 16 to 19 year olds in Openreach just a week or so ago. And it is so important, those relationships, I think, particularly in our early years. And had I not had a couple of key relationships back in those early years, I was a guaranteed, like, unsuccessful person. And it's those things that change it. Fast forward to today, what on earth did you jump into electric vehicle? Because I noticed that one of your first roles was the Electric Vehicle Experience Centre Manager.
Yes.
Or your early roles. And we know this was our first in-person event, John, I seem to remember.
Yeah.
We actually got together the guys at the centre at the time shut the doors on it for us. And we did, it was just out of COVID, we all got together. It was an absolute ball ache and a really difficult few hours doing our webinar together, eating donuts and doing all sorts of nonsense. But it's a great, great facility in Milton Keynes. So how did you get involved in that and how did you make that jump?
This was probably the biggest sliding door. So during COVID, I had my dream job and I left my dream job because I got drunk in a pub with a friend and he went, come and work for me building lofts. And I went, right, okay. Sounds like a great idea. And I went and did that for a few months and realised that great guy, great business. It just weren't for me. It just didn't work. And I really got quite low with it and I ended up quitting. I needed a job and I was like, right, just get back into training. Just go do that. And I found a job in training. Wasn't ideal, but it is what it is. And I was going to start there on the Monday. And on the Friday afternoon, I picked my kids up from the mother-in-law and I got a call from an old colleague. I went, "Are you still looking for a job?" I went, "Yeah." And she went, "Can you be on a call in 5 minutes with a guy called Keel?" I went, "Okay." So anyway, jumped on this call and he literally started with, "I've got the best job in the world for you. Easiest job in the world. Just got to rent EVs to people." So right, okay. And if I'm honest, I took the job. It was a fixed term contract. It was, the other job was secure. I took the job because they gave me a car, because I thought, right, I need a car. So that's, and I thought it will give me 6 months to rebuild myself, get my confidence back, and then I'll go do something else. And it was just an unbelievable 9 months. Turned up there, and I sort of knew in the background it was coming to an end. So it was very much you're going in to try and maximize what it is. I knew nothing about EV. I really didn't. But I walked into a business of, it was so separate to BP. It was like a little shop in the centre. You didn't really see the rest of the big wide BP. And I walked into probably six or seven of the most passionate EV people you could ever meet in your life. And I sat there day one up in, I don't know if they took you upstairs there, and it's basically no windows, no nothing. It's just literally a boardroom, nothing there. And I did my morning job and I sat there and went, there's nothing else to do. And I thought, well, I've got two options here. I can either milk this for what it is and just see how for 9 months, I'll be fine. Or actually just throw yourself into it and just give it a go. And so, yeah, I literally just spent all day asking questions for the first few months, you know. Why EV? I mean, I'd driven petrol up until then. And I was like, why EV? And I remember they gave me an e-Golf. It wasn't probably the greatest experience into EV. It did about 50-mile range. But I fell in love with it. And I fell in love with that, like the whole idea of it. And I made a few changes early on. So it was very much, I mean, people could come borrow a 60 grand EV for £15 a day. It was the most unbelievable place in the world. But they were very particular. It was like, you know, we want people who generally want to buy EVs. And I knew from my first experience, after that e-Golf, I jumped into a Kia e-Niro. And I was like, oh my God, what a car. And I changed it. I was like, no, bums on seats, sell EVs. Just get someone in it. So I basically just went, right, to anyone, if someone wants a car for a weekend for a wedding, do it, like get them. Because actually, and then, you know, just really small things. Like I thought £15 a day was quite ridiculous. So we upped the price a little bit. And of course, in the background, BP is seeing this random guy who's turned up who seems very passionate about this. It was just more from that. And oh my God, actually, right, we're selling out every week, every month. You know, if there's something in this. And I'll be honest with you, I sort of done my 9 months, loved it, got to meet some amazing people. Because the one thing with VP is being such a massive business, but the exposure you get to people is unbelievable. And really early on, I was very lucky. He's moved on now, who the guy called Richard Bartlett, who used to be the SVP of BP Pulse. So he run BP Pulse globally. And I got to meet him and we used to have chats. And actually, he sort of was like, there's this geeky guy who likes electric cars quite a lot. Okay, there's something in this. And I was actually going to move on. I sort of said, thank you very much, guys, really appreciate it. And they were like, where are you going? Like, there's something in this EV education thing, stick around. And literally the next four and a half, 5 years have just been an absolute whirlwind, to be fair, and jumped through various roles throughout Pulse. And yeah, here we are. But yeah, amazing time.
A couple of things I want to pick up. One is your dyslexia and the other is confidence. But let's deal with the dyslexia bit first. What sometimes happens with people is that they have we'll call it a shortcoming or a difference or a uniqueness. Call it whatever you want. And other senses, other things become more enhanced to compensate for that thing that you can't do. What are you really good at that compensates for that dyslexia?
I am, if you can find something I'm passionate about or an area, you know, so at the minute in our business, cable theft, right? Cable theft's a massive thing, but I'm passionate about it. I've always said, you give me something I want to do, I will get 10 hours work done in an hour. You give me something I don't want to do and a 5 minute job will take 10 hours. I have an ability of just, and effing's 1,000 miles an hour. And, you know, funny enough, a guy I'm working with on the project, him and it's very different. And he's like, whoa, stop. And I'm like, no, we keep going. We keep going. We're going momentum. I'm really good at that. I'm an ideas guy, right? Like I said before. So, you know, just give me a sentence and I'll create you an idea and a passion and a vision and all of that sort of thing. And then, yeah, and I'm really busy, as in I probably want to do too much and just get involved in everything. But the shortcoming side of that is I need to stay passionate about it, because if I don't, no. I'm the guy at home who starts a DIY project and then goes, I'm bored now. Right, what's the next thing? What I've learned later in life is actually just stick to what you're good at. Like, you know, I'm not good at writing managements of change. I'm not good at writing 2,000 word documents. That's not my game. You know, it's not what I'm good at. You know, just, you know, put me in front of a group of people and I'll sell a dream. Put me, you know, give me something I'm passionate about and I'll get it to the point that someone who is probably more analytical can then pick it up and actually mold it and change it. And I've learned that, and that's okay, right? It's fine to be able to go, you know, you're the guys who do that. You know, there's parts of my job now that I go, you know, really don't play to my strength. My job now is a lot of data. I'm terrible at data, but my colleague Kat's unbelievable at it, but she doesn't want to do the front and center bit and all of that. And I'm like, oh, look, we'll marry up and do that. So, I think inadvertently throughout my life, it's the golf club thing, right? I grew up in a private members golf club where juniors were seen and not heard. Everyone was sir and ma'am, although women don't like to be called ma'am nowadays. I've had to curb that. But actually, I just built really good relationships. Like, I've always been inquisitive. I've always wanted to, you know, and growing up in that environment, you're around some pretty successful people. So you just pick brains. You know, what do you do? How do you do that? And although perhaps, you know, I might not have the ability to go do what some of them have done, I've just found a way of it to build good relationships. And I've always lived by it is who you know, not what you know. You know, build a relationship with the right person and, you know, things will come good of it. So, yeah, my boss always says to me now, like, that's my biggest strength. Is your relationship building with people is awesome. And build credit in the bank for people, I suppose, is what I look at.
And that's where you take your confidence from, because you mentioned confidence earlier and you said, you know, I took 6 months to get my confidence back. Are you easily wounded? Do you take things quite deep when things don't work out?
Yeah, my wife would tell you I don't take criticism very well. Do you know what? I've always had to have things in my life that I can go and do separately to take my mind off of everything else. And if you ask any football manager in my life, they would have always told you that, you know, don't put him down because then he'd be the worst player in the world. But actually, you know, build him up and he's 10 foot tall and off he goes. So, yeah, I've always been I'm a confidence person in life. You know, when I'm great, I'm unbelievable. When I'm down, I'm down. And it's, for me, again, you learn it later in life, right? You learn there's little things in your life you do that trigger when you go, right, okay, we'll get me back to where I need to be. Compared to perhaps, you know, that period after I left my dream job and I went and done something else, I sort of let myself get lower and lower and lower and lower and lower and lower to the point of it was like, right, okay, well, we've got to do something about it. And I've always found sports helped me do that. That's that breakaway. That's that little thing. Been very selfish with it in my life, but it's made me be better Monday to Friday that I've had that to go and do.
So I like the balance I'm seeing, you know, this kind of, you know, the challenges, but the way of dealing with the challenges, the sort of fall overs, but then they get back up again. All of this you're now bringing into, I mean, you know, I want to be careful how I word this, because obviously BP Pulse has had its challenges from a reputational point of view, and people, you know, have linked it to, you know, perhaps a lot of the wrong things. Why BP Pulse? Why do the job that you're doing? Because it's clear that you're an influencer, you're a relationship builder, you are going to make a difference. Is that it? Is that where we're going with this? You're making a difference little by little inside out.
Pulse is home and it will be. No, that's a lie. BP's home. I come into it with no expectations I was going to stick around. It was a job for 6 months, but I saw the opportunities and the way BP embraced who I am and I mean like the dyslexia side of things, and actually I hear lab something else. I have never worked or heard for a business that invests in its people the way BP did. So they got me hook, line, and sinker, right? I'm not like, you know, this, you know, it's a massive organization. I would never rule out going anywhere within it. But, and they have me until they don't want me. Like, I won't. It's the most amazing business in the world. And people trust me, what I've never had before. It's like, no, Dan, you know what? You built the credibility. You know, go and make mistakes. That's fine, you know, but we know the intention's right. And I get the perception on the outside. And like you said, there absolutely has been challenges, right? Absolutely made mistakes in the business. You know, we've learned a hell of a lot over the last 5 years. You know, to as simply as what's a good charging hub look like, that's changed, you know. But what I always try to say to people on the outside is we were one of the first ones in it. And then all these CPOs have come later and been able to look at it and go, well, they did this and this didn't work. They, you know, we were one of the early days, or say ChargeMaster was, and it filtered through. So, you know, there's lots of things that come with being the early adopter to it, so to speak. And there's lots of things we've changed, but I've just loved the journey. And I come in every day and I see it, and I see how hard people work. And the frustrating thing is, I feel like the reputation Pulse got 3-4 years ago that's carried on nowadays, it's not what it was. But perception's hard to change, right? And it can't be changed overnight, and you've got to do it bit by bit, slowly but surely. And we've got to get other stuff in order first to make people do it. So, but I see it. So, you know, I've never wavered. I've never thought, you know, and opportunities have come up, right, in this industry to perhaps go somewhere else. I'm like, no, this is where it's going to be. And I genuinely believe this is going to work. Yeah, babe, no one could tell me a bad thing about Pulse.
But isn't that wonderful? Because I think, you know, sometimes when you look in through a window, you're looking through a window that could be tainted in many different ways. Our own personal views, other people's perceptions, all of those things. But actually hearing it from the inside out, I think people are the most important things. Relationships are the most important things. And it seems like you found good people and built good relationships. And why not do what you're doing from the inside out? I suppose talk to us a little bit about the journey for BP Pulse going forward. How do you see the future for BP Pulse and the charging infrastructure that's going out there and the increase that you're going to be presiding over in the next few years?
So I think we're now at a place where we go, we know what we want. We know what the future looks like. So to go back, obviously, initially Pulse did home charge, they did fleet charging, they did public charging, fast, rapid, ultra-fast. We did everything, right? And over a period of time, you learn actually, well, what's going to fit our business? And now we very much understand. And also, it was a charger anywhere you could get it. Anywhere, you know, just throw charging about. What we learned now is we are purely rapid and ultra-fast charging. It's not about having the most charge points in the ground. It's about the charger in the right place for the right customer. The whole offer to a customer, you know, I think if someone paints you a picture and says, what's the perfect charging hub look like? You know, it's got toilets, it's got shops, it's got everything you want there. I'll show you a site that's just 6 bays and it does 200 sessions a day. But it's just, man, so I think with this industry, where we are now is what we've learned is you have to go with the industry because it rises, you know, EV sales shoot up and then they drop off. And actually you've got to invest in this at the right time. People are putting mass amounts of millions of infrastructure in, and actually the return is further down the line. So you've got to be really smart with the way you do it now and not just throw hubs in all over the place. So now we're very strategic in what we do. We're very careful with where we go and how we're going to go, but it is purely ultra-fast and rapid charging in the right place for the right customer. We've got our partnerships in line. So, you know, with the likes of M&S Food Halls, we're on a load of stores there. Q Parks, and particularly in London, we've got a load of Q Park sites. We're very, very successful. Transport for London, where we've got, I dread to think how many rapid chargers we've got across the middle of London from there. And all these various partnerships that we actually go, you know, this is where we want to be. This is what we believe the successful areas are. And then it's adding the right quality of site. And for me, that's the bit I love about this job is working with the real estate guys and finding that gem. And you go, that's a site customers want. That's a site and it's in the right area. So that's our future. That's the plan. The right charger in the right place.
It feels like that you're really keen to deliver that. And it is great to see.
Mm. But it's the right offer as well, right? To, you know, there's so many like different ways of paying for charging, different hardware, different. And actually, it's trying to, I think every CPO, if you ask them, would go, we've done the wrong site somewhere along the line. We perhaps tried a different piece of hardware. You know, our method of payment was quite tricky and all of that. So we're all still learning. And I think every CPO needs to sort of find what they want to do, find what they're good at, and then try and replicate that as easy as possible. And the industry is going to change, right, massively. The way we, you know, I see a future of, I love AI and I love that it knows you better than you know you. And I would love to see a future that, you know, I get in my car and it knows I'm going to a particular BP Pulse site, and my app one day tells me that the bay I always use is free, and it knows I always buy a Red Bull when I'm there, and it goes, hey, damn, that Red Bull's 50% off today if you go and charge, and all of those sort of, like, that's what I see. Where at the minute it's actually, you know, like we say, build it up bit by bit and get there. Because at the end of the day, as we all want the same thing, we want to build an amazing infrastructure in the UK that provides for our customers. Really now, we're all using similar hardware, we're all using similar ways of doing things. So what differentiates us? And that's going to be quite an interesting thing over the next few years.
I'm not sure if the image of Dan on Red Bull is one that I can cope with.
It is my guilty pleasure.
Oh, it's fantastic. And I'm wondering whether, and you can, you know, kind of guide me on this, whether your role in this EV education, and I'll perhaps go into the TikTok kind of world that you've kind of created for yourself, Dan the EV man, I think it is. We'll put the link in the chat so anybody that wants to can follow you. But is there a sort of a mission? Is there a personal vision that goes alongside of this? Or has the job captured your heart and you just love the job? Has it grown into a personal mission that you now have taken to the streets with TikTok and all that sort of stuff? And talk to us about TikTok as well.
Yeah. I need to pick TikTok back up again. I actually stopped for a while, but that's more. So it started with, the whole TikTok thing started because my job was education. And it was basically, I said to BP, I was like, hey, do you mind if I sort of do this? Because obviously, again, you know, you've got to be very careful. You know, although I'm not speaking on behalf of the brand, I am representing them. And they were like, yeah, okay, you know, by all means, but go through normal things. You're Dan McLaren, you know, you work for Pulse, but these are my own views sort of thing. So I did that, and I did it just from a, you two will be the same, right? Whenever you go out with a group of friends or whatever, the rubbish you hear from people, like, about it, and you're like, come on, like, you know, even my sister the other day, I went round there and she was looking to buy one and she'd come out with some ludicrous statement about it. You know, the battery will die in a year. And I'm like, I'm your brother. I've been doing this for 7 years and you still think stuff like that. So it was more like, okay, well, actually, just start pumping stuff out there. And actually, it doesn't need to be different. It can be quite consistent. And I kind of like the hate. I'm not going to lie. It was kind of fun to get the naysayers. So I did that, and I sort of did that education role at BP for sort of 2.5 years, and I loved it. I was on the road all the time, right? I was up and down the country, all different, basically going to all of our forecourts, because again, those guys were very much used to traditional fuel, and we dumped an EV charger on them, and they were a little bit like, well, what is this thing? How does it work? So I did that for a while, and that was where the sort of TikTok stemmed from. I had time to do it. And then I did get to the point where I was like, look, if I really want to make a difference in this industry, I need to get into a more commercial role that actually I can, no, it sounds weird. I finally said this to Colin the other day at Greenfleet, because he'd thankfully put me back in the Greenfleet 100, but I hadn't really posted too much over the year. And I said to him, it's weird, I've made more of an impact in the last year being in a more commercial role, but you don't see it as much. TikTok's very much, you're out there and you can see it. Where now is, you know, you're physically making a difference. So I've sort of stopped the TikTok. There's 6 months or so. I will pick it back up again now. I'm in my role. I understand it. You know, I'm not learning constantly every day anymore now. And then I can hopefully do that again in tandem on the side. But yeah, I'm just, to be honest with you, it captured me, right? I turned up day one. I was a petrol driver. I was just going into a job and I saw something in it. And I'm still very much very honest that there's people out there that EV does not fit yet. Doesn't fit in their life and they need to stick traditional fuels. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think sometimes as the industry, we try to force product down people's throats too much. And sometimes actually, no, there's people out there that just doesn't fit. Like, that does fit their lifestyle. But the majority it could, right? EV goes a really long way. So nowadays, I mean, I did Euro Disney and back in it the other day. I think I charged once. And I'm sorry, I challenge anyone to drive to Euro Disney and not need to stop at some point. I'm doing Cornwall in a couple of weeks. So it's that side of it. It was very much of, you know, it's brought, everyone's situation is different, right? But like, the cost in my household now that me and my wife both charge on a driveway, that's a massive cost a month for Sage. And I think it's just, talk to people about it, you know, out there. And it's funny, as time goes on, all the friends who were like, nah, I'm not touching it. And their business goes, you know, we're bringing in EVs and I don't want it. Wait, what? Cheap benefit in kind. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'll take one now. And they love it. And actually, you know, you get the odd one the first time people turn up at a charger. Right, what do I do? I'm here. How does it work? But you see, in bit by bit, people are like, okay, right. And like I say, bums on seats sell EVs. As soon as someone drives it, I've never met anyone who's went, no, that was a terrible drive, I didn't like it. They'll go, oh, that was quite impressive. So yeah, and I'll hopefully the fire still burns and I continue to want to do it. And yeah, but I can't see it change it, to be honest. I found my why.
Ha, brilliant.
I want to bring you full circle as my final question. You spoke very warmly about having a mentor and the importance of that mentor in your life in helping to put you on a good path. Do you act as a mentor within your work environment or indeed in your personal life to kind of pay that forward? Because you are a very knowledgeable and experienced human being who is calm. You're a trainer. You deliver stuff that helps people do the things they need to do. Do you have that formal role? And if not, why not? And when do you start?
I would say, so firstly on the mentor thing, this is one thing I always say to everyone is get one. Have a mentor in your life. So BP, a massive honor. So I've had a couple in BP at my time. You sort of work through, you get different. So for me, it's massive because like me, it holds you to account and also just gets you thinking. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a mentor per se. What I have is, like you said, I'm Dan the EV man. So it's very much, and it's been a wonderful opportunity for me because you get random people from various parts of the business go, Dan, have you got 5 minutes to pick your brains on something? And I go, okay. And it's someone in a random part of the business who, you know, it could be anything from, I'm looking at buying an EV, what should I get? Right up to, okay, you know, we've got this particular product coming. How does this fit? How does that work? I would say more outside of work. So I alluded to it earlier. So I tried to retire from football this year. I've been dragged right back in. There, I'm seeing the younger generation are so different to what I was. And actually, I think my whole, my jump from dealerships into training come from a chat with an older footballer in a dressing room. And he sort of, we got chatting. And so now it's, I would say outside of it is, I will do a bit more of it. Not like I'm your mentor, but just have chats with the younger generation and you know, the younger lads I'm around, just to sort of, you know, what is the plan? Where are you going? Because again, I think someone once upon a time said that to me, and my life was basically go to work, cut grass Monday to Friday, Saturday play football, and go out in the evening, and then be hungover Sunday. That was, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? It was a really, no. I look back and go, it was a really nice time in my life. There was no pressure. There was, you know, I haven't got two beautiful children at home to provide for. It was easy, but actually, you know, I was lucky early doors. You know, I got married at 24. I met this man and, you know, with him, with the upbringing I'd had, my life rapidly changed and got a lot better. And actually, can you do that for someone else? Can you help someone else along the way? So yeah, I think it's massive. Anyone listening who hasn't got a mentor, get one. If you can't get one in your business, there'll be people out there who will be willing to. And it doesn't need to be a multimillionaire who, like, entrepreneur who's done it. Someone just to challenge you and ask you the right questions. And not let you get away with just fuddy-duddy answers to try and stop it. It's, no, somebody's going to push and poke you.
Good man.
That's awesome. I mean, what a journey you've had. And just from sort of coming out of school with nothing. And this, I love these stories that you know, a relationship brings you into having the capability to take those journeys. But we all make mistakes. And, you know, the loft business, I have a training business that I joined, which was definitely a mistake for me. Not a bad business, but like yours, but just didn't fit me. Torturous year. And we make mistakes. We learn from them. And now here you are, kind of like living your best life, kind of passing it on, paying it forward. You've got your career outside, you've got your kids, beautiful wife. I mean, it's possible, right? It's just super
100%. Possible. And I think it's because you always hear these stories of, you know, someone's come from nothing to become a multimillionaire. Well, that's the 1%. But actually, there's also a 40, 50, 60% who actually just go and have a really good life and go and provide for their family. And, you know, I think that's the bit of go, that's amazing, right? Well, as they say, aim for the stars, land on the moon, whatever the term may be. But yeah, absolutely, you can go and do it. And in today's world, there's so much opportunity, right? Is so much with social media and all of that lot of going out there. Like, I'm with my two kids now, debut on, they're like every kid, they want to grow up and be a YouTuber. But, you know, I've got a son who's very much like me, and it's actually, you know, the world's your oyster, buddy. Go and, you know, go and do what you like. Where my daughter's very academic, but socially not great. So again, you have to, and now I've got to a point in my life very much is getting them to both to a point that when they're 18, 19, 20, to go, what, you can go and explore the world and go and do what you need to do. That's the challenge that I have now. But yeah, I'm going to change it.
Well, Dan, the good news is we have help for those challenges in life. We have a moment, which I think you have been waiting for since you walked into the cupboard under the stairs, I think it was.
Walk-in airing cupboard.
Walk-in airing cupboard under the stairs where you were entering the world of Hogwarts. Well, something that Hogwarts never did, we are going to do today. And that is to present you, Dan McLaren, with the EV Cafe Magic Wand, all the way fresh from Hogwarts. There we go. And as you can see, fresh with lightning bolt. But amazing. Coming to you, sir, and I suspect we're going to get a very positive response here. You can see the hands moving already. There you go, mate. All yours. There
we go. Lovely.
He's got it. He's finally got a Hogwarts wand in his hand. So with that one, Dan, you have a wish. We are empowering you today to make a wish. What do you wish for in life?
In life?
Oh, I mean, life, work. I mean, however you want to put it in context. Family. Do you wish you'd become a professional golfer?
that would have been nice. No, to be honest with you, my wish now is, I sort of alluded to it a minute ago, I have two amazing children. I have one son who's got learning difficulties in a speech disorder, but the most confident little boy in the world. And I have a daughter who's the most academic girl in the world, but suffers with chronic anxiety. So every day in our house is a struggle. They're 11 and 9. Every day has its challenges. For me, my wish is, and it's my ambition, like I said, get them to a point that actually they go, they're very happy. What's normal nowadays, right? But very happy, fulfilling lives. That's the desire outside of work. And me and my wife will continue fighting that every day. Be healthier. for me. So my dad's had 6 heart attacks, first one at 39. So it's become my ambition now at 37 to go, right, I need to get a bit healthier. I'm taking loads of witches here. And then in work, simply make Pulse the biggest and best CPO in the UK, bar none. And I won't stop until I get there.
And listen, let me be the first to wish you success in all 3 of those wishes, because we want a healthy Dan. We totally relate to that desire to have your kids in good shape for the world, because the world's a tough place at times. So anything and everything that we can do. And hey, listen, we all want brilliant, brilliant CPOs in the world. And, you know, you're one of the biggest businesses in the world. Therefore, it would be good, wouldn't it, if you were the biggest and the best as well? Because why not? Why wouldn't we want that? That is fabulous. This has been a great conversation, hasn't it, John?
I've loved it. I got up this morning thinking, this is going to be fabulous, because I've always, and it is that thing, you know, the little bit, the iceberg thing, you know, the little bit at the top that everybody sees, the professional Dan McLaren who's out there doing his thing. It's that other 8/9 that I'm always fascinated in. And there is so much in you and your story. I think it certainly resonated with Paul. It resonated with me, that thing about not quite finding your step when you're younger, but finding the right people, the right place to be so that you can be the best you can be. And you can't ask any more than that. And Dan, it's been a joy to know you and a joy to do this. You are brilliant. But what comes out of it more than anything for me is what a great place BP is to work.
And honestly, I generally say to people every day, it is whatever facet of the business you work in as well, right? It's just, I think you'd struggle to find anyone who works at BP who doesn't want to be here. I don't think you could, because just the opportunity is phenomenal.
It's almost unheard of now. You know, you talk to a lot of people and they're very quick to criticise their employer, because being an employer is a darn thing to do, especially at that scale. But you are motivated, you are focused, and you're going to deliver the very best because you care. It's just fabulous. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Awesome. What a mate. It is. And in terms of randomness, 8/9? Wow. and 3 wishes?
No, so
from one.
I was throwing numbers in because Dan said he wasn't good with data.
I've got a few words
as well in a minute.
I just presumed you were right. I was just like, okay, yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah,
well, yeah, because but now I'm questioning myself. Is it a 1/9 of an iceberg that sticks out? It is.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at that. See, there was me thinking it was a, you know, because you say 9 out of 10, or do you know what I mean? But 8/9. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the whole iceberg is 1/9, divided up into 1/9, and 1/9 sits above the surface, and 8/9, the remainder, sits below the surface.
There you go. There was me thinking you were just being really random.
I'm from Southampton. We know about icebergs.
Anyway, back to the point. Dan McLaren, you've been amazing. I love your journey from greenkeeper to electric vehicle experience center manager to now commercial manager within BP Pulse, for want of a better description. And that wish for, you know, making it all to be the best in the world would be great. And obviously your other wishes also count, you know. Anyway, naughty, but nice. Anyway. What a fabulous conversation. Dan, thank you again. It's been a real pleasure having you on. And so follow Dan down the EV Man. He's promised he's going back onto TikTok. So you can link up with him on TikTok. But of course, you can connect with him on LinkedIn also. And if you've liked this conversation, we have lots of them most every week. And so you can go and listen on the EV Cafe podcast. So evcafe.org/podcast, or on Apple or on Spotify or wherever you love to listen to your podcast, in the car, at home, wherever you are. Enjoy. And until next time, have a great day, everybody. And we'll see you on the other side.